This is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Texas restaurants are being squeezed from all sides. Rising costs, labor shortages, shaky consumer confidence, and now the fallout from immigration enforcement policies. Industry leaders say all of this is disrupting both staffing and sales. The Texas Restaurant Association says many operators are seeing workers disappear, consumers are staying home, margins are growing even tighter. We're joined now by Emily Williams-Knight, President and CEO of the Texas Restaurant Association, to talk about what she's hearing from restaurant owners across the state and what it means for the Texas economy. And Emily, welcome to The Source.
Great. Thank you so much.
And we want to hear from our listeners. If you work or own a restaurant, what are you seeing out there? And everyone else, are you changing your restaurant habits? What's going on out there? So, Emily, tell me what you're hearing from restaurant owners.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the best way to, sum it up is that restaurants are being squeezed really on both sides. So you have the restaurant owner that is facing higher costs across literally every line item on their P&L, while you have the Texas consumer being under a lot of pressure and looking for what we're seeing is called value. I think restaurants right now, if you look at the list of pressure points that they're feeling, it's across the board from pretty much every food and ingredient. Obviously, beef is an outlier with extraordinary inflationary pressure. Tariffs, also the back and forth whiplash on tariffs has put some instability in when you're thinking about expanding, or those rising costs of new equipment that you may be importing in, credit card swipe fees, insurance. At the same time, you've got a consumer that's facing, you know, higher housing prices, elevated expenses, a little bit of fuel cost pressure now, which we track very closely. And so it's not that Texans don't want to go out to eat. It's that they're looking more for value, but that restaurant operator on an average 4-6% margin is just being squeezed in a way that we've not really seen since the pandemic era 5 years ago.
Is this happening to restaurants across the board, or is it a particular type of restaurants that are being hit harder than others?
Yeah, it's such a good question. Right now, it is a bit universal, but meaning that there are restaurants across every segment, whether it be your sit-down, casual, family dining, down to your quick service. It really depends on a couple points, right? So if you're a barbecue restaurant that's dealing with the highest beef prices or protein prices that we've seen in 20 years, you're being squeezed to a whole different level potentially than someone who's maybe in a bakery business. But that bakery business may be located in the valley where we've seen a reduction in spending and some employee challenges. And so it feels like as we survey our members, you know, they're coming back with a lot of the same concerns, which is I have nowhere to move on cost. My consumer is feeling very tightened with that dollar in their pocket. And so they're making a choice when they go out to eat. And in some cases, that consumer is trading down. So instead of getting a drink and an appetizer or a appetizer, dessert, and entree, we call it they're focusing on the center of the menu. So that check average is going down. So I think it almost feels like right now it doesn't matter where you are in Texas, there is some pressure hitting your restaurant. It just depends on the segment, the geography, and what you're offering.
How central is immigrant labor to the restaurant industry, from the back of the house to the front of the house roles? We know that there's typically a high percentage of people who are undocumented working in restaurants.
Yeah, it's critical for us. I think most people may not know that the restaurant industry in Texas is actually the largest private sector employer. So we have roughly 1.4 to 1.5 million Texans working every day to feed other Texans. And if you take a dollar out of your pocket, about 53 cents goes to a restaurant. And so the way we put it is that we're critical feeding infrastructure. So when you have disruption in the labor market and the ability to have restaurants operating at full capacity, that has a direct economic impact to every community across the state. We have been working very hard on sort of two sides of this conversation of immigration. One, we know the entire food supply chain is disrupted with the current activity, and we can see that. So simply put, the picket, packet, you know, ship it, put it on a plate. All of that has a large percentage of immigrants that are working and have been working. And so job one for us is to lobby, and we are. My colleague is actually in Washington today, very hard to secure work permits for those individuals so we can get some stability back to our long-term hardworking immigrants that have been here paying taxes. And then, of course, working on the policy side for a long-term fix with things like the Dignity Act, which can hopefully finally, after decades, reform our immigration system. But we think the short-term answer is to really provide some stability through work permits, which is something we've called on President Trump, who can and we feel should execute on that to provide these workers some stability and these restaurant owners.
Have restaurants seen, are they been targeted by ICE? I know that ICE has been accused of targeting construction sites. They were targeting the agriculture industry until there was some pushback on that. And now there's sort of a truce in that area. But have they been going to restaurants looking for people?
We have not seen a direct, it reported to us, this sort of a direct targeting. We do know if ICE is looking for a specific individual, whether that be in a restaurant or a retail store, a law office, pick your, you know, your location. There has been some of that. But as far as what you may hear nationally is going in and sort of taking groups of employees, we have not experienced that in Texas. To our knowledge, we are really close to the members across the state. I think that what's driving some of two sides, it's important to know that it's not just the employee that may be afraid to come to work. It's also the employee or that community not spending. And so we've definitely seen a pullback in communities where there's a higher Hispanic population in Texas. We have seen further reduction in sales in those communities because it's not just not maybe going to work out of fear, but it's also not going out and spending money in places like restaurants. And so we haven't seen that same type of activity maybe that we are seeing on the news in other places, but there's no doubt the fear alone is driving people to stay home.
So tell me more about what you are lobbying for, work permits, and this is something that does not provide a pathway to citizenship, but just allows people to work legally?
Exactly. And so we feel really strongly. One of the things that we have joined part of, it's called the American Business Immigration Coalition. And together with partners across the entire food supply chain, so think about your dairy farmers, your packing plants, your slaughterhouses, everything that ensures that we can keep food affordable for Texans and at this point bring hopefully the cost of food down, is we've got to bring some predictability and stability back. And so our ask, which is something that the president can do, is to authorize work permits for these very specific job populations and individuals that have been longtime employees that have not committed a crime, that are working in their institution and paying taxes in many cases. Let's provide them with a work permit to allow them to continue working, right, to allow them to continue to be in these jobs. This coalition, it's amazing. It's really been a lot of bipartisan work, and it's really elevating as much as we can to the administration that one of the ways to bring the cost of food down, which, let's be clear, in Texas, affordability is a major conversation in this election. How do you get food cheaper on the table? Well, we have to shore up the supply chain. And one of the ways to do that is to provide work permits. And so we're really trying to work very broadly, bipartisan, to elevate the fact that we have a secure border, which is something the president ran on. Well, we also wanted to run here on a strong economy. And in order to get costs down, one of the ways to do that, we believe, is to provide work permits. And so we are lobbying very hard for that and have been for the last 9 months.
So this sounds like this is not political, but practical.
Practical and economic. I think what we've been able to identify is that, you know, we like to say restaurants are probably the best group to lead this conversation because everyone has a restaurant, every lawmaker, every community. We have 58,000 of them in Texas. Everyone loves restaurants. We don't care what side of the aisle you're on. We need to take a giant step back and say that the cost of food matters to every Texan. The availability of food matters to every Texan. And if we can connect, you know, very clearly that this is an economic issue, then everyone needs to lean in and make it happen. And so we're incredibly passionate about it because we know it will make a difference to every Texan. It's just making sure we can get this message up to the president over and over and over again, which is what we're working really hard to do.
Well, it does sound like it's in conflict with Trump's stated goals of mass deportation.
Yeah, I think, you know, we've been trying to, that's a very fair comment. I think for us, I think what we're trying to help the president understand or remind him is just the work that has gone out, right? And so it's always been a conversation about securing the border, which has been done. And the other is, how do you have a strong economy? And when we poll Texans, we know that affordability is a critical issue. And so it's not just Texans, right? It's all Americans are struggling with affordability. And so we're trying to play to the economic side and the business side. We know that Congress has to act, and the Dignity Act is the first attempt, I think, at a bipartisan bill that would help, I guess, maybe overhaul, right, but reimagine our current immigration system that has been decades without any adjustment. That's going to take a lot longer. But if we truly believe the economy matters and we truly believe that affordability is paramount as we head into November, we're trying to give him one option, which isn't mass deportation. It isn't open and let everyone in. It isn't providing amnesty or citizenship. It's really saying, listen, this is one way you can do this with long-term vetted immigrants. And we're willing from the business community side to put someone, you know, put an employer in there to help support that process. I think our employers are willing to stand up for these people as well.
Well, this impacts McDonald's as well. We know that's his favorite restaurant. We're going to take a break, yes. And we're going to come back, and our phone lines are open. We do want to hear from the community. If you work at a restaurant, own a restaurant, if you go to restaurants, what are you seeing? And what do you think about these policy changes that are being proposed in order to try to put some stability in our favorite restaurants? Call in 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. The Source comes back in 1 minute.
Support for the Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at uthealthsa.org.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Almost with us on the line, Emily Williams Knight, president and CEO of the Texas Restaurant Association. Doesn't matter if it's a James Beard type restaurant or your local corner Mexican restaurant. You know, everyone is feeling the impact of higher costs and also the disappearance of labor due to the mass deportations, immigration policies. And so we're seeing these restaurants being squeezed, also higher costs. There's a lot going on. And so there is a proposal to try to deal with that. And we're hearing about an attempt to try to lobby, looking for a work permits, also a Dignity Act working its way through Congress that could find a way to provide a stable working environment for people in restaurants, keeping our restaurants. You can call in. How is your favorite restaurant doing? Do you own a restaurant, work at a restaurant? Give us a call, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Well, one policy change we've seen is the no tax on tips. Is that actually working right now? What is the status with no tax on tips?
Yeah, it is. It's something we're really proud of. We were able to work with the National Restaurant Association on that legislation through Senator Cruz. And I think what's been a little bit exciting is if you think about it, actually applied to 2025. And so as employees, tipped employees across any industry laid out their W-2s for the year, this was not something that existed. So what we're finding right now are two things. One, many employees are getting back a higher refund that they didn't expect. That's great. That's a nice shot in the arm for that employee. But it's also where restaurants in general take a piece of any type of newfound windfall. And so not only is it working, but it's, I think, going to be what we're calling a 3 to 4 year case study in both overtime and no taxes on tips to help put more money back into, for example, a server or a nail salon, a dog groomer, right? It's across not just restaurants, but we've been receiving really good feedback. And I think as employees now this year go into 26 and we're able to make those decisions on their W-2s, hopefully, or their, you know, their annual filing, they'll actually have more money in their pocket throughout the year, knowing that first tranche of income will not be taxed. So I think it's been a very, very good thing for employees, and a lot were unaware that it actually impacted them in 25, which was fantastic.
So people may not be aware that restaurants are already running on a very thin margin. Give us an idea of what restaurant operators are looking at and how this situation, the squeeze, is impacting them.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's always this misconception that restaurants are just making money hand over fist and they're a high margin business. For some reason, even being in restaurants 30 years in all different capacities, it's one of the things we're always educating lawmakers out as well. The average restaurant, let's think about an independent restaurant in a community in Texas. It's making a 4 to 6% margin. 4 to 6%, that is very, very small while they'll deliver a product and a service. And if you're looking at your P&L today, your profit and loss statement, here are the things that have gone up. And many of them have gone up north of 30%. So you have your food cost, all your ingredient cost, your labor cost, your commercial insurance premiums are up more than 30%. Your utilities have gone up. Your rent has clearly gone up. Any repairs and maintenance. Your credit card swipe fees. This is something that we're working very hard federally and we'll be bringing back to the Texas Capitol, is to bring fairness into every time you swipe your credit card, that restaurant is paying between 2 and 4%, if not more. And packaging. So a lot of folks say, great, I can't get to the restaurant, but I'm going to get delivery. And that delivery, believe it or not, is less profitable than you hitting the restaurant due to the third-party fees, as well as the packaging that has to go into getting that food delivered to you. And then we talk about fuel prices in general. And fuel prices, on estimate, it's about, once gas hits about $3.80 a gallon, is when we start to see traffic decline at a restaurant. But you have to remember that once the diesel fuel is above $5, the product shipping to a restaurant to prepare also tends to get hit with a fuel premium. So while it's a little early days to see the direct impact on the current gas price increases, we do know that with diesel being over $5, that cost of goods to get to a restaurant has also increased. And so what we're seeing now is that Texans want to eat out. The spring is a really important time for us. Patios are open, but unfortunately, they're making less money. And what we're hearing from them is that there's nowhere to put additional cost in the menu. So if I was paying, you know, charging you $19 for a plate of ribs 3 years ago, that plate of ribs is now $36. I can't make it $40, even though the price of beef has doubled. And so what you're feeling, the word we continue to hear from our members, is just squeezed. They don't have anywhere to go because the consumer is demanding value, but everything that they're trying to manage, all those costs are only going up. And that's where you're seeing restaurant closures come from.
Well, we saw the shock that restaurants went through during the COVID shutdown. There was a lot of energy in society to help maintain the restaurants to get them through that. But it wasn't that long ago. And it does seem like they're just coming out of that, and here we are with another shock, right?
You're absolutely right. It feels like, and I led the organization and the industry through the pandemic, and even though it's been 5 years, it still feels incredibly raw. And the one piece that has remained consistent, as these restaurants had come out of COVID, then they have to go through incredible supply chain disruption. Then they go through some economic uncertainty. Then they live through a tariff immigration situation. And now they have the Texas consumer who's starting to pull back. And so it feels like since the first word COVID came out, the restaurants have never had even a 90-day period where they've had some consistency. And yet Texans love restaurants. And so they have been trying to adapt and ebb and flow. And remember, these are so many times, I think it's almost 70% of the restaurants in Texas are independent. And so this is a sole operator that's passionate. It's tied to their community. They give back so much. And yet every day they wake up trying to figure out, how do I make the math work? And so you're absolutely right. There's been no period of just a heyday, you know, for restaurants. And I'm sure we don't have time, but you could even get into, you know, what's going on with alcohol sales, what's going on with the GLP-1 drugs, and all these external factors that are also changing the way consumers or Texans engage with the restaurant. They're trying to sort all that out too. And so it's really challenging right now for your local restaurant, incredibly challenging.
So are we at the point now where some restaurant owners are having to make the tough decision about whether or not to keep open? I saw a statistic that almost half of restaurants didn't even make a profit recently.
That's exactly right. In 2025, not half of the restaurants made a profit. And I think what you're going to see this year, I think we were a little more optimistic coming into 2026. And you have to be really careful when we look at the data because, you know, obviously you have a very large brand that has good economies of scale. They have 300 or 400 units in Texas. The shocks that, you know, that hit a brand like that are very different than a mom and pop on the corner. And so the ones that we worry about tremendously right now are those independent restaurants. And I think if you were to ask me compared to 3 months ago, do I believe that we would have additional closures this year? I think that we may spike slightly because people are running out of runway. At the same time, you know, we have the good fortune, hopefully, of having two cities host the World Cup and some tremendous expected overflow of that. And so a summer, which tends to be slightly challenging depending on the weather, we could get a nice boost across many of our major markets with the World Cup. That is the hope. That may stave off some, but I think when I talk to, in particular, the board members that represent every section of Texas, there's no doubt that there is worry. And some of your very long-standing brands may just say, I'm out. And I think that's the risk, is the community aspect of having a brand that you love. You've celebrated your engagement, maybe your divorce, maybe a funeral, maybe a birthday. But that community fabric, I think that's the part we can't lose sight of, that's at risk when you have some of our long-term mom-and-pop businesses just say, I simply can't take on the debt anymore or not make any money and be in this business. And when they close, it's a really big loss to the community from a cultural standpoint as well.
Well, the squeeze is coming from a lot of different directions, but if consumers, can they provide some support politically, trying to say that work permits are palatable to them? They can somehow support the Seat at the Table Coalition, at least on social media or reaching out to their elected officials?
Absolutely. We encourage everyone to visit seatthetable.org. You can go through the Texas Restaurant Association link and lend your name, your business's name, to this concept. Very simple concept of acknowledging the folks that have been here and preparing our food and serving our communities, in some cases for decades, allowing them to have that stability and for that owner to have that stability. I encourage everyone to join that campaign. And we always say, you know, reflect if you're able to go out to dinner once or twice this week or get a lunch, really prioritize your local independent restaurant and try to go visit them. And if you can't, maybe you buy a $20 gift card to keep for later because that infuses that, you know, local business with cash. And just don't forget them right now. I think that's the key. And if things aren't perfect when you walk in, a little grace as they're dealing with both the labor issue and, you know, trying to figure out how they adjust to the new realities of running a restaurant here in Texas.
And you've done polling showing that voters, 83% agree that with the work permit concept, and for Texas Republicans, that jumps to 89%.
89%.
That's incredible. Yeah. It does seem like if we can talk about this more, we can get some political momentum trying to save Texas restaurants. I want to thank you so much, Emily Williams-Knight, President and CEO of the Texas Restaurant Association, to tell us about what's happening with restaurants and the squeeze that's happening right now. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Ruben Garcia, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz, Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation. Support for this podcast of The Source comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' compensation provider committed to rewarding policyholders who keep their workers safe and losses low. More at texasmutual.com/TXM Advantage. Texas Mutual. Texans get it.